Let's lock it down, talk some kids sports and more. She is the executive director. Learn all about they've got going on. Visit kidsports.org. Keep up with the progress of the spectacular Civic Park, which, of course, I said was never going to happen. Online, visit EugeneCivicAlliance.com. On Twitter, use at kidsportsbev. Bev Smith checks in. Bev, it is always my pleasure. How are you doing these days?
Really good, Steve. Thanks for having me on. Enjoying the sun, although it is very hot out there. So just a caution for everyone out there. Lots of sunscreen, lots of water. And we're in the midst of baseball, softball at Kids Sports. So we got some games going on tonight and wanting everybody to just take a couple of precautions as you get ready to play.
Hydrate. Be safe. Before we get to all you and your various organizations are up to, I got a couple of general questions. So watching the World Cup, beyond the results, because you played at a high level in this conference, you also represented your native Canada as a player and a coach. I always hear athletes and some I've interviewed talk about how unique that is. What could you tell us, your experience and what it meant to put on that uniform playing for country?
You know, just thinking about it, Steve, really is quite emotional because you are representing your country and your family, your community, your high school. There's a lot of levels of representation. And you know, a lot of people will say, well, you know, you've played 10 or 12 years, you've been in a couple of Olympics. You know, anytime you get prepared for a high-level competition like that and you stand together with your teammates and, you know, you have your national anthem played when you face your opponent, it is incredible because it's hard to get there. You don't maybe realize it at the time, but looking back on it, you know, it still brings some very raw emotions to that, and that you've been selected, you know, to have that name of the country across your chest. So, you know, it's interesting to watch the World Cup. We, as Canadians, have a pretty good women's soccer team on the field, and Christine Sinclair may have the opportunity to be the top goal scorer in the world. And so I can't even imagine, you know, how that feels for her.
Yesterday, the American team put that historic performance together. Some cried inappropriate, be it running up the score. Some didn't like the celebrations. Obviously, in your position in kids sports, well, you wouldn't tolerate that at your level, showing up the other team. But as this is the elite of the elite, what's your take as far as careful how you celebrate? You don't want to show up the opponent, or is it on the opponent if you don't want to witness this, stop them from scoring?
There's something to be said about that. I remember when we played the Russian national team in 1980 here at Mack Court, we probably got beat by 50 points. And you know, the Russians are a little bit stoic with how they play. They were, at that time, pretty robotic and didn't do a lot of celebrations right to begin with. But I think there is something to be said. We have, you know, developing nations that are trying to get there. And I don't have any problem with the U.S. national team scoring the 13 goals. I think we all realize, you know, there's adult women there. I think probably just the extra celebration does ring a little bit hard and hollow, you know, just given that, you know, the Americans, you know, just have so many more resources and players. But having said that, I'm sure some of those women that scored yesterday, it might have been the first time they've had a World Cup goal, and that is pretty special. So I didn't actually see the celebrations. I've sort of followed some of the, you know, fallout on Twitter, but I think, you know, the Thailand team knew what they were getting into, and I think sometimes, you know, the Americans or anyone that's up like that just has to understand, you know, what would be nice just to, you know, have a little respect for them, even though you're playing for keeps at that level. So a little bit of both, Steve.
All right. talking with Bev Smith of Kid Sports. Last week, I know there were a couple of fundraisers for the Civic Alliance. You sent me some great photos of the progress being made as construction continues. So, Bev, on a personal level, for the many of you who have put so much into this, when you see that, I mean, that's got to be pretty darned exciting.
It is, Steve. It kind of feels, you know, like the culmination of a lot of hard work, like you experience as an athlete. And, I'm just so very proud of this community, because really it is just a community engagement for us. We've had a lot of incredible help from our community to make this happen. And, you know, at one point I look at it and it's really very exciting, and we still have some work to do. So I try not to, you know, get my head up too high. Just keep it focused on the end result. Keep working towards making this a reality that will really help not just our kids, but I think our community have a space and place to play, to hang out, to socialize, which I think will draw our community even closer together.
You know, thinking back to the initial effort, you had to hit a fundraising goal to make this a reality, to securing the site, to putting a shovel in the ground. It seems like you could almost set your watch by how this is all scheduled out. So where are we at now as far as funding and maybe a target date to open the doors and let the games begin?
Yes, that's very much a part of the game plan right now. And, you know, I think it's a $35 million capital campaign, Steve, so it is a big lift for our community. For now, we've raised almost $25 million. We are well on the way as construction, as people driving by can see. We phase the project, so phase one includes the Kid Sports Fieldhouse, which is a 40,000-square-foot building that has four full-size middle school basketball courts that we can convert into volleyball courts and football courts and, you know, athletic development academies, all kinds of things that we're currently unable to do because of a lack of space. And the other part of phase one is the turf field and then all the parking and the amenities to make it accessible and functional. And that, we're targeted to be in that building probably February 2020, so next February.
Whoa.
And open in March of 2020. And then, you know, we're really working hard because phase one is about a $30 million capital campaign. So we still have $5 million to raise to finish phase one. We have, you know, we're able to keep our construction going until November with the pledges and the money that we have right now. And so looking to raise that money and you know, for people who are saying, well, what happens if you come up short? You know, our board has also secured a $6 million construction loan that we will, you know, be able to sort of use if, in fact, we come up a little bit short. But our goal is to build this civic park without any debt, and I think we're well on our way to doing so.
Yeah, you could visit the website and, you know, like I said, if you happen to have a spare $5 million and you want to make a contribution, Bev would be delighted.
For sure.
One quick side note. I remember when I first spoke to you on my radio show when I moved here to Cumulus in 2008, and you were still the Oregon coach, and we talked about our upbringing because we're close in age, and you mentioned that you were from a big NHL house and you rooted for the Canadiens. I'm curious, do you follow the NHL much at all? I mean, have you caught any of these Stanley Cup playoff games? Because, you know, we got a game 7 for the Cup tonight.
Which is awesome, and that's the old Boston Bruins, St. Louis, you know, that they haven't played that since Bobby Orr got that fantastic goal, and the shot of him flying through the air.
Yep.
Remains, you know, in my mind forever. Unfortunately, I've lost a little bit of touch. My Canadians are struggling, and I just can't get my Vancouver Canuck hat on yet. But, you know, the game of hockey taught me a lot. My father played it, and I played it up until I was about 8 or 9, and then the boys got to go to minor hockey, and I had to go find basketball. But I go home and skate every year when I go back up in the wintertime. It just is part of, you can take the, you know, the person out of hockey, but you can't take the hockey out of the person. So still a big part of my foundation and formation. And Steve, probably yours as well, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. Although it's probably been 6 years since I skated. So if I went out there now, I would need rubber ice. Let's get to kids sports as we continue with Executive Director Bev Smith. It's 90 degrees out. Autumn seems in the distance. But beyond signing up for football, you mentioned something different, a new tackling or a flag football format. What's that all about?
Well, yeah, so we're looking, you know, we continually try to make sure that our programs are, you know, number one, safe for the kids, and number two, that the kids are enjoying it, they're having fun, they're learning. They're developing both their athletic, their athletic house and perhaps some of their sports-specific house. And as a result, we try to really pay close attention to what OSAA is doing and what the National High School Federation is doing, and particularly national organizations like USA Heads Up Football. And so every other sport that we deliver to the community has a modified game leading up to, you know, the real adult game, the professional game. And for example, we have 3-on-3 basketball and first and second grade basketball. Then in third grade, you go to the 5-on-5. So age appropriate, trying to focus on the development, you know, sort of getting kids having fun, enjoying the game before they really are asked to perform and produce results. And so tackle football has not been sort of in that sort of framework, and USA Heads Up Football has come up with what they call rookie tackle for fifth and sixth grade. OSAA is asking all youth organizations to deliver flag football from first to fourth grade, which is what we are doing. We've added first and second grade flag football this year, which is new to kids sports, which is why we really would like, you know, to get that information out to our parents so they visit our website to see what is actually happening. And we are now going to offer fifth and sixth grade rookie tackle, which is full pad tackle, but it is only 7v7. And as a result, kids get more opportunity. They get to play all the different positions. They get to experiment. They get to see the ball. They don't get sort of lined up as a lineman for the rest of their life when they're 11 years old. They get to see other aspects of it, both offensively and defensively. It's had huge success throughout the country. We had a meeting with our local 4J high school football tackle coaches, and they're very supportive of it and looking to see how that plays out in terms of getting and keeping more kids playing the game. You know, tackle football does, you know, has a perception of you know, being, you know, something that can cause injury to kids, and that's very true if it's not delivered in a quality way. And we think that USA Football Heads Up tackle football, particularly with their rookie tackle, really has a progression that helps to keep kids safe, but allowing them to have fun and enjoy the game and continue to play the game into high school.
I love the progressive nature of all that. A couple final thoughts for Bev. It's always important to note dates when I speak with you, be it registration, camps, clinics. So here we are. It's Wednesday, June 12th. If you're a parent, a grandparent, and you've got a player, what do the folks need to know about dates that are coming up that are critical to register?
Well, speaking about our tackle football, that registration deadline is July 27th. Seems really early, but, you know, the following week is August, and that's when we really start our fall programs. So coming up quickly, we also have some events this summer that are good. We have a multi-skill camp that kids just come out from 9 to 12 on June 24th to June 27th, which is a Monday through Thursday. They can come out and we do some just multi-sport skills with agility, balance, coordination. We play a lot of tag. We do some obstacle courses. We play tug of war, you know, those simple playground sandlot things that we all used to do in the backyard. So that registration isn't until that Friday before, which is the 21st. You can go on our website and take a look at that. And we also have a summer soccer academy that runs starting on June 25th. for eight consecutive weeks through until August. And we have a couple of University of Oregon women's soccer players delivering that. They did it last year, do a fantastic job of getting kids in the game, playing, working on their individual skills, having some fun, and having a slip and slide as well, which doesn't hurt when you're out there in 80-degree weather.
Yep. One final thought, and it's a topic that I always mean to bring up when we speak, but being from a generation that played sports depending on what the season was, the experts, the science, I know we've had this conversation before, but how important, Bev, is it to get kids playing different sports and not focusing on just one, especially at the youth level?
Yes, kindergarten through fifth grade, I think, is really, really critical that kids, you know, really try to sports sample and play two or three different sports a year. You know, it's good for their global development. I, you know, often talk with parents who say, Bev, you know, my third grader, you know, she's eight. She really loves to play soccer. She wants to play soccer all year round. And, you know, it's difficult because they love it, but getting them exposed to other things also takes some wear and tear off of them just doing one repetitive movement for the rest of their lives. And also, you know, they need a global education. So I asked them, you know, if the English teacher came and said, hey, Bev, I want, you know, you have a great daughter. She's eight. She's going to be the next J.K. Rowling. We think that she should just be writing for the rest of her life. And, you know, as a parent, you go, well, I don't think that is going to globally develop her to be even a better writer. And it's kind of the same way with you as a young athlete. You know, playing sport, multiple sports, you get more out of sport and you develop in ways that you won't if you do just specialize. So there's a lot of research out there. There's a lot of risk and reward to specialization. And I would just ask parents to really take a look at that as much as they would look at, you know, following someone's advice just to be a writer or just to be a scientist when they're 8 or 9 or 10.
That's awesome stuff. Folks, learn more, kidsports.org. If you want to keep up with the latest happening on the Civic Park Project, it's EugeneCivicAlliance.org. Follow Bev on Twitter at kidsports. I already gave you that one. Kidsports Bev. There you go. I'm back on the track.
Perfect. Hey, Steve, so tell us a little bit, you know, in looking at youth sports and looking, you know, what's your story? What's your story that you remember as a kid that, you know, sports really made a difference in your life?
Well, I was fortunate in that my grandfather was very civic-minded. My dad took that baton, and when I was growing up, all we had was either Little League for baseball or the Police Athletic League, and my dad was one of the founders of the Wayne Boys Club. And so even though at the time I wasn't really big into football or soccer, because he was involved and I was there, I actually took up those sports. I was more baseball and a basketball and a golf guy, but kind of it's in perfect sync with what we were talking about. I always felt like when it was that season, I always wanted to try to play that sport, and I thought it always made me a little more well-rounded. While I was never able to achieve, you know, being I played some college golf, I just always felt like if you threw me a ball or a tennis racket or told me to lace them up to play hockey, because I tried everything, I was pretty competent at everything.
Yeah, and that's so here we have Steve Tannen, poster boy for multi-sport sports sampling. Thank you. No, it's a great story, and I think that resonates with what, you know, Civic Park is really all about, is giving that opportunity for, you know, kids to play multiple sports. And your word in all of this is having kids be confident in their ability just to play a game for the game's sake itself.
Bev, I always enjoy our conversations, get so much out of it, admire all the great work you do, and have a great summer, and obviously, as we get close to another target date, hit me up and we shall chat again.
We will, Steve. Thanks so much for the time, and swing easy out there. I know you're on the golf tour, so have fun.
Thanks a lot, Bev. Take it easy.